Well, good afternoon. How are we today? Boy, I wish they'd left all those chairs down in the back. I'd have all you folks up here right by me. It'd be so much more fun. All right, well. Well, here's your It Is Written question. It's two part, so you have to get both parts. It Is Written is very much involved in evangelism around the world. One thing we've started doing since Pastor Bradshaw has been on board is that we encourage and take lay people with us to be part of the evangelistic series. So if you ever want to go on an exciting soul-winning journey with It Is Written, we would love to have you. In 2018, we're going to two locations. The first person that can tell me the two locations will win a gift. This year, where are we going? What two locations? Anybody? Did I hear something? Philippines is one. Rick, can you turn me down just a little bit? Philippines is one. Nobody on the next one? Not Mongolia. We're doing an ongoing humanitarian project there. Young lady, I'm going to have to let you win the gift because you at least came up with one of the two. South Africa is the other. South Africa. We are taking 500 lay people to the Philippines. Can you imagine? And when we take a lay person, they do the preaching. We provide them with everything. Everything. Makes it real easy for you, and you can go out and you can preach. I had the privilege of going to Moldova with It Is Written a couple of years ago, and I think I'll tell you more about that at another time. Okay. Well, let's get started. Today we're going to look at two modules. The first one is preparing yourself for evangelism. Before getting involved in evangelism, you got to prepare yourself. We looked at that a little bit yesterday. So you've got to get yourself prepared, and it takes a little bit of work. Now tell me, who spent 40 years in the wilderness before God could use them for service? Who retreated for 3 years in Arabia before becoming a missionary? Who needs soul preparation in order to be used by God? We do. You know, God will work on preparing our hearts if we let Him. And we might be sitting here saying today, Lord, I want to do something for you. And as you pray and as you lay that desire before the Lord, He might not even use you for a year or two because He needs to further prepare you. Okay? Now, I want to go ahead and give out my handout now. And you're so spread out, it's going to be a little bit more work, but maybe I could get two volunteers to help me. Thank you. You want to take that side there? Thank you, Brother Hoffer. Appreciate that. Well, let's take a look at a progression of being used by God, and we'll go back to David, and we'll look at what David had to say. Before we do that, is there anybody first time here today? Was not here yesterday? Oh, there's a couple people weren't here yesterday. Okay, well, welcome. Glad you're here. I maybe should have given you a little bit of an intro here. I'm Jeff Blumenberg from It Is Written, and we do two modules in this seminar called Personal Evangelism. So over the course of 6 days, we're going to do 12 modules. When you are done with these modules, you're going to have all the tools, the track, everything necessary for you to be able to bring a soul to Christ. What more would you ever ask for than that opportunity to be able to do that? What a gift that would be, wouldn't it? To see somebody that you worked with buried in the waters of baptism. Wouldn't that be incredible? And to know that you're going to go and spend eternity together? Wow. But you got to stay with me, and I appreciate your faithfulness from yesterday, and those new people, please stay with us through the week. There's going to be a lot of exciting things that we're going to talk about. These first few days kind of more set the stage for us, and then we kind of take off from there, and it gets pretty escalated. You'll be excited as we go. But like we did yesterday, if somebody would be so kind as to read the slide out loud, that would be helpful. David knew that it was only God that could change his heart. He couldn't do it himself. He had to come to the position in his life where God actually did the creating of the clean heart. Somebody else, please. David realized that there was a heart work that needed to be done, for sure. So if you kind of followed along there in that transgression, David is contrite. He realizes he needs some cleansing. He comes to the point where he knows that it's only God that can do the cleansing. Once God comes in and does the cleansing, then David realized that he could be used by God. So that's important that we want to remember. Now let's go to Paul and see what he had to say. Pretty much parallels David, doesn't it? He realizes that it's Christ living in him that is going to make him a representative to the world. And when he invites Christ into his heart, what does he actually say he'll be able to do? He sure can. Now, I remember the story about this old log cabin. It was articulate. It was beautiful. Everything in its place. And on the one wall, it was kind of the focal point on the cabin. There was this rusty bent nail stuck in the wall right there. And you just couldn't help but see that rusty nail. And you wondered about it. But then the owner of the cabin came, and he took a picture of Jesus, and he hung it on that rusty nail. And it just changed everything. Well, you and I are that rusty nail. We're crooked, and we're useless, and we're ugly. But when we get to where we learn what David and Paul learned about putting on Christ, then what people see is not the ugliness of us, but they see the beauty of Jesus. So, we saw David. He was changed. What about the woman at the well? Was she changed? Who was the very first missionary? How about the demoniac? Man, was he changed? How about that guy that climbed up in that tree? Did he know his experience that day would be forever changed? We know the story about Peter, don't we? Wow. Went from denying his Lord to giving his life for his Lord. So tell me, how does this transformation take place? First of all, let me tell you, it's not going to happen in spite of you. God doesn't look down and say, I see Joe and I see Lois and I've decided I'm going to pick them to work in my vineyard. It doesn't matter what they think about it. I'm going to pick them. No, it doesn't work that way. If you are not engaged in wanting to be used by God, he's not going to force you. So how does this transformation take place? Well, there has to be a willing spirit, of course. And you're here today willingly. And so your spirit is, teach me, Lord, your ways. Teach me what I can learn. I'm very elementary in everything I'm sharing with you. You've heard it many times before. But you're here again to kind of reiterate, kind of reprogram, kind of resort these thoughts through in your mind. And the fact that our lessons from the Bible this afternoon so far have showed us is that it's vital for us to be connected. To be connected. Now, Jesus told a parable, and yesterday we talked about the sowing of the seed. Today we're going to look at another parable that Jesus told, and it has to do with fruit production. Now, if somebody'd start our reading, we'll read this parable together. Thank you. So, did you notice the four fruit production levels in those verses? Maybe you did. Well, the first one we saw right there in that first verse was verse 2, which there was no fruit. Now, we got to be really, really careful here, because if we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians choose to bear no fruit, what's the outcome for us? We're pruned away, aren't we? And usually, it's because we're not joined to Jesus, which is the key. So then we see in verse 2 also that there's some that bore some fruit, and then there was some that bore more fruit, and some then that bore lots of fruit. Well, it's kind of a progression. I don't want to say it's okay to bear no fruit, but if we're sitting here today not bearing any fruit, okay. All right. That's at least the first. But we can see there's a progression, that we can walk up that ladder to some fruit, to more fruit, to lots of fruit. So that's what we want to try to do. Now, if Jesus is joined to us and we're joined to him, do you think there's a chance that we would produce no fruit? There's no chance. There's no chance. If you're dedicated to him and you're giving your life to him, we know that he's going to be more than happy to unite with you, and anything you do, he's going to bless. Okay. I share a story with you about a British pastor by the name of F.B. Meyer. And he was conscious of the fact that there was not the power in his life that should be there. We can kind of relate to that, can't we? His ministry was not having the success he wished. He prayed much about it, but without any change. One night, he had a dream in which it seemed that Jesus came to him and said, "Meyer, give me the keys to your heart." Pastor Meyer passed over a large bunch of keys to the Lord. "Meyer, are these all the keys?" After some hesitation, Meyer remembered that there was one key for a very small drawer that he had not handed over. Jesus spoke again. "Meyer, I want all the keys to your heart." Then in his dream, Pastor Meyer went through a great struggle for full surrender, not partial. At last, with a tremendous effort, he passed over that last key to Jesus. Pastor Meyer writes that this was the turning point in his life, having turned over that last key. Wow. Ellen White shares with us in Prophets and Kings, "Transformation of character is the testimony to the world of an indwelling Christ. The Spirit of God produces a new life in the soul." I know in my spiritual journey, I have gone through progression, and I've learned, and it seems like there's been simple things that never got through to my thick skull, and then one day it just kind of dawned on me, some things that everybody else seemed to know, but yet I never got through to me. And that was the fact that there was absolutely nothing I could do to save a soul. It was only the Spirit of God living in me that made anything happen. And I didn't have that connection for so long. I tried all I could. I just was so busy doing things, trying to do things. But I never had done what I needed to make the Spirit a part of my life and in control of my life so that anything good that was coming for me was from the Spirit. This quote continues, "Bringing the thoughts and desires into obedience to the will of Christ, and the inward man is renewed in the image of God. Out of the desires of the heart, the inward man." Ellen White also says in Counsels on Health, "The Holy Spirit seeks to abide in each soul." It seeks, it desires, it wants to live in your heart. "If it is welcomed as an honored guest, those who receive it will be made complete in Christ. The good work begun will be finished." You know, that was something else that I struggled with. I kept thinking, man, I got to do better. I got to live better. I got to give this up. I got to do that. I got to eat this. Just my whole life was hung up on all these things I had to do. And then I realized, man, if I just invite Jesus into my life and the Spirit into my life, then I can say, it's your responsibility now. Because in Philippians, Paul says that he, Christ, will finish the work that he's begun in you. It's not you finishing the work. And here we see it again. The good work begun will be finished. The holy thoughts, heavenly affections, and Christ-like actions will take the place of impure thoughts, perverse sentiments, and rebellious acts. Wow, to be there, wouldn't that be wonderful? And we all can be. Another story for you. A young man approached the foreman of a logging crew and asked for a job. "That depends," replied the foreman. "Let's see you fell that tree." The young man stepped forward and skillfully felled the tree. Impressed, the foreman exclaimed, "You can start Monday." Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rolled by. And Thursday afternoon, the foreman approached the young man and said, you can pick up your check on the way out today. Startled, the young man replied, don't you normally give out checks on Friday? Normally we do, said the foreman, but we're letting you go today because you've fallen behind. Our daily felling charts show that you've dropped from first place on Monday to last place today. But I'm a hard worker, the young man objected. I arrive first in the morning and I leave last, and I work right through my coffee break. The foreman, sensing the young man's integrity, thought for a minute and asked, have you been sharpening your axe? The young man replied, no, sir. I've been working too hard to take time for that. Big question. How many of us are so busy that we're not taking time to sharpen our axe? Good question for all of us, huh? Okay, so what daily exercises can we do to stay connected and surrendered? Well, we know that reading the Word of God is important. Ellen White says that our first work in the morning should be to invite the Lord into our life, feed on His Word, right? You know, a lot of people never thought of this idea before. Keep a diary of what God is telling you. When I was younger, I can remember reading through the book Early Writings. And there was things in that book that I read that impressed me that was part of my mission, what God was calling me to do. And so I started to underline and put out in the margin the letter M for mission. And through my lifetime, I've not been careful to journal everything, but when I look back at the things I have journaled, and I see what God was teaching me, it's helped me to understand where He wants to use me better today. So that's an idea for you. As you lay before the Lord your desire to be a worker in His force, say, Lord, lay upon my heart and my mind what it is that I can do for you, where it is I can work, who it is I should see. Lay it upon my mind. And as He impresses you throughout the day, just jot it down. And you never know, looking back months, maybe even looking back years, it will be a springboard for you to have more confidence to move forward right when God is asking you to do a work for Him. I am so big on inviting the Spirit into my life on a daily basis now. I didn't do it for a long time. This is one of those kind of lessons that just the light went on. Recently, like just a year or two, to think that I really can invite the Spirit into my life to work and to live. The other thing that I've learned that has made such a difference in my walk with the Lord is that I've learned to give Him permission to change my heart. There's things of the world that I love. And I've tried to give things up, and it's a battle. But now I say, Lord, come into my life through the indwelling of your Spirit, and I give you permission to take out of my life those things that don't lend to the finishing of your work. And I can look back now, and I can see how the Lord has taken things that I once loved, and I don't even think about them anymore. And God gets the glory. And that's the way it should be. God gets the glory for anything He's ever done in your life. Instead of me thinking, oh, wow, great, look at what I gave up, look what I did. No, it's what God did. And that's the beauty. The Lord gave us a model in the Lord's Prayer, and we're just going to spin down through these rather quickly. You're very familiar. But the Lord's Prayer gives us a 10-part kind of conceptual outline for our prayers. Our Father in heaven, man, coming to God as our Father, do you know how much He loves you? Philip Yancey, in his book, Grace, got it written down here, Vanishing Grace, says there is nothing that you can do to cause God to love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to cause God to love you less. Isn't that incredible? What love is that? So we come to God. We just appreciate His love for us. We're just humbled by His name and the power of His name and what He can do. We understand that He is coming. But before He can come in His kingdom, there's souls that He still wants to save. And we pray, Lord, come, but let me be a part of saving those souls. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is where we can take a moment and we can offer our request before God. A time when we can actually say, Lord, You know my needs. Please, let me share with You this and that and make those requests known before God. Give us this day our daily bread. We're so grateful for what God does, aren't we? And He provides for us every day, blessing after blessing, and an opportunity to thank Him. And then confess our sins to Him. That's important for us to do, friends, because we're told that if we confess, He'll forgive. And we've got to, of course, make sure that we forgive our debtors. We can't hold out against other people wrongs that they've done against us and expect us to be blessed and to be used by God. We want to make sure that we plead for God for wisdom, even in small details, to be led. We don't want, of course, to be led in any direction other than the direction He wants to lead us, and to realize that He's all-powerful, and He's going to come back, and He's going to include those that love Him in His eternal home. Okay, that concludes that module. So now with just a little 5-minute break, I kind of get retooled, and I'm sorry it's so hot in here. And after lunch, it's hard to stay awake. I wonder if I could maybe make some loud noises or something at different intervals, just kind of wake you up. You know. But if you want to stand up a minute, just stand up, kind of just get a chance to get a little blood moving. That'd be good. Excuse me?
I missed the first handout.
Okay, sure. There it is right there. Thank you. Absolutely. If you came in late and you didn't get a handout today, please come up and get one. Be happy to give it to you. All right. These modules are 30 minutes long, designed to be 30 minutes long, and we just hit that last one right on the button, so that's good. Sometimes they're a little shorter. Sometimes they're a little longer. It is written question. And I've got some really nice gifts up here. I've got a DVD, the John Bradshaw Life Story. This is really incredible. You'll laugh a lot through that. I have partnership music from our partnership programs every year in the fall. This is a beautiful CD. Barry Black did a couple sermons for us once. They're here. Some other stuff up here, too. So you just got to answer the question right. That's all. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I don't expect you to know the answer. But if you do, that would surprise me. That'd be okay. All right. Here's a question. It is written as viewed by an average of how many viewers each week? Mm-hmm. 1.5 million. Average viewers per week watch It Is Written around the world. How about that? 1.5 million. So now, how many countries are we televised in around the world every week? What's that? 143. Isn't that amazing? Now in the U.S., we're on, of course, your Adventist channels. But we're also on TBN, Sundays at 1:30. We used to be on the Discovery Channel on Sunday mornings, but it was like at 7 a.m. and we didn't get a good response from that, so we didn't keep doing it. But TBN, you know, TBN, Trinity Broadcasting, Lutz Adventist broadcast on their channel. Isn't that amazing? What's also amazing is that there's 11 topics we're not allowed to discuss. So, you know, we've got to stay somewhat away from State of the Dead, Sabbath, Sanctuary, you know, that kind of thing. But John still does a great job of still reaching out, and that's neat. Okay, your question for today for a prize is, what is the name of It Is Written's, now, remember, those that didn't hear this yesterday, I am hard of hearing. So if you expect me to hear you, you've got to shout it out. What, sir?
Bible questions.
Oh, these are his written questions. You can, you gotta know the history of the church's television ministry. But this is how you learn the history anyway, right? So, all right. So, what is the name of It Is Written's evangelistic school?
Written It Is.
Nobody knows the name? Salt. Thanks, Joya. You got that. Get a gift later. Salt. You've never heard of Salt? Oh, man. Man, I could do a whole presentation on Salt. It's incredible. It Is Written has partnered with Southern Adventist University to do a soul, SALT stands for Soul Winning and Leadership Training Curriculum. It's the fall semester, it's the whole semester, you get college credit for it, but the kids and even adults that do that curriculum, at the end of that curriculum, they actually do an evangelistic series, and every single year there's people baptized. Then we also have what's called SummerSALT. It's a high intensive 4 or 5 days in the summer. It's coming up July 5th, it starts. And it's there at the college, but when you're done with that really intensive program, you are prepared to go out and win souls. And it's a neat, neat program, SALT. So that is a little advertisement there for It Is Written. Okay. All right. Evangelism teams. You know, if you're going to go out and do evangelism, you really need to be a team. You know, nowhere in the Bible do we see evangelism done really single-handedly, do we? I mean, it's not like just an individual thing. We have the example that Jesus worked with his team. We have the example that Jesus said, go out together as a team. We also know that Paul, in his efforts to evangelize the world, he did it as a team, right? So, true or false, there's reason to approach evangelism differently today. False. Now, there's no reason to do it differently. This is the example we've been given, and so this is what we do. Let's look at evangelism, page 115. In our churches, let companies be formed for service. In the Lord's work, there are to be no idlers. Let different ones unite in labor as fishers of men. Let them seek to gather souls from the corruption of the world into the saving purity of Christ's love. The formation of small companies or teams as a basis of Christian effort is a plan that has been presented before me by one who cannot err. If there is a large number in the church, let the members be formed into small companies to work not only for the church members, but for unbelievers also. That's an interesting thought for church members. Review and Herald, August 25. We are living in the line of the Holy Spirit's power in the time. It is seeking to diffuse itself through the agency of humanity, thus increasing its influence in the world. For if any man drinks of the water of life, it will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the blessing will not be confined to himself, but will be shared by others. So, if we're going to do evangelism, we're going to have to create a team in order to reach our community. So we're not going to be all little islands unto ourselves doing our own thing. We're going to take the counsel. We're going to take the examples in the scriptures. And we're going to develop a team. And that's the whole idea with what It Is Written is trying to do with Spark. It's trying to advocate a team approach. So, what is an evangelistic team look like? Well, we think it should be from 2 to 12 people. And I need to give a handout, don't I? Son, I forgot about that. Sorry. I see somebody out there taking notes, and I'm saying, why are you taking notes? Okay, what side are you taking? You're taking to the right there, okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you. So a team should be at least you and another person. Ideally, you know, a handful, 3, 4, 5, so that you have different assets and different talents that are a part of your team. And the purpose of your team is that you're going to work side by side together. That's what you want to accomplish. And you want to do regular meetings together. You want to get together. This is you're developing a team for a purpose. And so in order to accomplish your purpose, we have to have some structure to this team. So we want to meet on a regular basis. Now, meeting on a regular basis means that maybe in the beginning, it's once every 2 weeks or so. You get together, you're formulating, you're working the plan. And I'm telling you guys, if you stay with me tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday, you're going to see some unbelievable neat stuff that you're going to be so encouraged and so excited about. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. So we're just getting the basics down here. So we got to have a team prepared to be able to put some of these ideas into focus here. All right. Well, what does a team do? What's the purpose of a team, really? Well, we know it's going to provide some friendship for us. Thank you so much, sister. We get support when we're working together, don't we? And that's so important because it's so easy to get discouraged. But we support each other when we're working. We hold each other accountable. If we say, you know what, next Saturday afternoon we're going to get together, we're going to further discuss what our purpose is. And so you kind of hold each other into that loop of getting things done. You encourage each other. You keep each other moving. Personal growth is something that comes from a team atmosphere. And service is the key. That's what we're striving for. You remember the story yesterday about Walmart? We're here to be servants. Jesus said, you're to be a servant. And so we want to figure that out, get our arms around that as a team. How can we go out and provide service to our community, our neighborhood? What can we do? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We're going to see that what we just listed a minute ago is seen here in the early apostles. They had the fellowship. They had the support. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through them. Their ministry took off. Now all who believed were together. They had everything in common. They were supporting each other. Their purpose was together. And they sold their possessions, and they divided up what they had so that everybody's need was met. That's a team approach. They continued every day, going from place to place, breaking bread, meeting with people, glad, happy, simplicity of heart, praising God. We know how to do that. That's good. Everybody's awake now. Oh, my goodness. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added. That's the key. That's what we want. That's why we're here. The Lord added. Oh, God, please add to our little church. I talk to so many people, and they say, our church is small, it's dying, it's not very exciting. But this is what we want. We want to somehow get an enthusiasm where we can make a difference and we can do the plan and see people added to the church. Well, that'd be so cool. So we need to get ourselves organized. We need to get ourselves a team. We need to somehow figure out, all right, how are we going to do this? Now, you guys are here, and you know, you might be thinking a team approach. If I went back to my church, who would I want to be on my team? Who could I ask? I wonder who would be willing to work with me and maybe get the enthusiasm that I kind of got from going to Spark and carry it forward. And you know, that's a good thing to do, is try to think, who can I maybe partner with? But I would encourage you to get on your knees and say, Lord, who do you want me to partner with? Who are you laying on their heart the need to do something that I don't even think of, or I'm not even friends with, maybe, per se? Maybe there's somebody that I need to approach and say, the Lord laid it on my heart to ask you to see if you'd like to be a worker with me on a team for the purpose of reaching our community. So we're going to pray earnestly, ask that God will lead us. So we're going to walk through these steps. We want to keep the pastor in the loop. You're going to see this a couple times today. We're not doing something apart from the organized church. We're not just a group over here doing our own thing. We might be a group doing our own thing, but we want to keep the pastor in the loop. And I'm not saying we need the pastor on the team, but it's fine if he wants to be or if it works out. But a lot of churches have a pastor they see once a month or twice a month, and so it's not as easy. But at least keep him in the loop what you're doing. Pastor, we've organized this team of four of us, and this is what we're going to do. So keep the pastor in the loop for you. Get some training. Wow, that's kind of what you're doing here today. You're getting some training. Now, one of the best training resources for all of this is SALT. Now, you can go away to SALT, but a lot of people can't go away to SALT. They can't just take off and go for 3 months or even a week. But they can go to the It Is Written website, itiswritten.com, and they can go to the SALT link and go over to SALT. And there we have every one of these programs and just tons and tons and tons of more programs called SALT 365 that are online. You can look at them 24 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime you want. You can see modules on how to do this, 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 how to do this. Unbelievable. It's just an incredible library. You just start watching some of the SALT 365s, you won't believe what's there. And it is so encouraging. I mean, it's just fantastic information. Pastor Bradshaw, Pastor Flickinger, Pastor Monet, interviewing different people, pastors. It's just a collaboration of just wonderful resource material to help you. So you go to itiswritten.com, you go down to SALT, and there'll be a link to go to the SALT website, because SALT has its own website. It's SALT training, I don't remember what. But the link's right there in It Is Written. So all you have to do is remember just itiswritten.com, and you can easily get to SALT. But you'll be really impressed with all that's there under that website. Okay. Well, you're going to want to find some people in your church that are going to partner with you. And you're going to need them. Now, you're here learning the program, but you're going to have everything in your three-ring binder when you're done. So you could find two or three people and say, hey, let's go through this together. And you could be the moderator. Just find three. Let's go through this together. And after you go through it with them, see if they don't get the enthusiasm that you've got. Now, I can assure you that as you build your prospective team, you want to give them what the focus is and what the concept is. And not everybody is going to be ready to come on board right away. You're going to have to give people time. You might be excited. You might go back and say, man, you got to do this with me. This is exciting. And they might be like, well, I don't know. So this is where you got to lay it on their heart, and you have to lay the prayer into it and pray that the Lord will lead the right people at the right time to come on board. So you're going to give time to your prospective people. So once you get your people and you're ready to go, they've decided, let's go ahead and do this, then you got to organize a time to get started and get yourself going. And you get your first team meeting, and you might say, all right, let's meet for every week for like 4 weeks. Let's get this thing organized and up and running. So you get that all done. You get that all in place. Then you get your first meeting, and if you don't organize and have meetings, it won't work. So you got to realize you got to do that. So keep the pastor in the loop. We're having meetings. It's going well. We're in our third week now. We're discussing. We're looking at these couple options that It Is Written gave us. We're excited about this one. We're going to move forward with that. Okay, and then when you start getting some things happening, share with your church family. Say, man, this is starting to happen. This is starting to get exciting. And get them on board, right? And then you're going to enjoy amazing, amazing blessings. All right. So now I'm going to go down real quick what a team meeting should look like, and this is really elementary. But we do this in a lot of different settings, so it's a part of this module. But we suggest to do it in a home, not in church. And we suggest you don't overburden the host. You know what that means, right? So you do it in a home, sit in a circle. There's only a couple of you. There's 4, 5, 6, maybe 8 of you. And you're going to try to do 1 hour. Set down 1 hour so that it's not too long for anyone. And you need to have a good leader. Now, if you're excited about this and you go, but I'm not a leader. Well, then you better be praying that the Lord's going to put a leader in your heart that you can go talk to about saying, hey, I need you to be a part of this team, and I need you to be our leader. And you don't know, people right now at home, they could be praying, Lord, use me somehow. And when you approach them, they could say, you are the answer to my prayer that I've been praying. Your idea is you're going to be focusing on service. Now, a team leader needs to be somebody that spends daily time in the Word of God. They're enthusiastic about what you're going to do. They're excited about it. They're moving forward with you to see that this is going to happen. They can take and organize the meetings, make sure that there's the accountability that it gets done for you. And they can keep everybody encouraged moving forward. Keeping things simple is very important. We talk about that a lot as we talk about Spark. This is a simple approach. You don't have to have any degrees to do this. The team leader will be able to provide resources. They maybe will go to Salt 365 and have something all queued up so that when you get together, you can just watch it on TV, a training program. And then, of course, you're going to have goals, and you're going to work to get those met. And the team leader is going to help to organize those opportunities for you. So a typical schedule, you'll get together, you'll have 5 minutes of chit-chat, and then you'll take and do a Bible study, open the Word of God together, discuss something about maybe going out to His vineyard, and then you're going to talk about the service aspect, what it is we're trying to do for 30 minutes. Not a lot of time. A leader doesn't have a big responsibility, but a little bit here to just organize that. And then you could do a 10-minute prayer session, and that gives you your hour. So pretty simple. Ellen White says in this Day with God, page 11, let small companies assemble together in the evening or early morning to study the Bible for themselves. Let them have a season of prayer that they may be strengthened and enlightened and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Let small companies meet together to study the Scriptures. You will lose nothing by this, but will gain much. So that 30-minute service that we talked about, you could take and watch a webinar. You can take and go through one of these modules that we're doing here. You can get people excited when you talk about the evangelism cycle. So you want to have a team that's willing to dedicate maybe an hour or two a week to start with, and then as things start to get ramped up, it might be 2, 3, 4 hours a week. So you'll want to make sure that people are ready to do that. And then you're going to be able to share and move forward. And the sky is literally the limit with what you're going to be able to do. Now, these are some of the, just the basic stuff, and a lot of it you guys know. But I put it in this format, and I've got it in your handout so that you've got a track to run on. So you can go back, meet with some people. You have a reference to just say, all right, this is how we're going to do this. And we've done this way because it works this way. We do these courses, believe it or not, all around the world. We do them in a lot of countries outside of America. And we have to have these basics in there to help other countries and other people see that they have to have structure and so forth and so on. But it's all good. It's all good. Now, tomorrow, we're going to dig into some neat things. And I can't wait to share some of the things tomorrow that we're going to share with you. But I'll say this. People that have gone through this course and have gone through what we have shared and have done what we have shared, in less than a year, everyone that had formed the team has called the office and said, we've had a baptism. Everyone. We've not had one team that has been assembled that we know about that they didn't have success. Yes, ma'am. I think having young people as part of the team is great, but just a young people's group. I'm catching about 3/4 of what you're saying, and maybe I better drift back here to catch more of it. So. Have we seen this evangelism concept work using younger members, young adults forming their own team and doing it? We have. There's a lot of youth groups that have gone through this Spark training and are having great success in their peer group. Yeah. As long that we find there's different things that are really key to success, and one of them is you have to have a good leader. A good leader that's enthusiastic and can kind of pull everybody together and organize and make it happen. It seems like that's really, really the key. Well, folks, any other questions before I'm done here? Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it. I know it's a little difficult with the heat and here, but maybe we can get cool breezes tomorrow. Cool breezes. So thank you so much. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:30.